Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
This podcast is all about elite distance running in the UK.
We're here to give you all the latest news updates around the sport,
as well as weekly interviews with athletes and coaches.
Stay up to date by following us on Instagram and X at Sunday Podcast.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel too, where we post athlete workout videos, shoe reviews and more.
Thanks for listening, and as always, we hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, well, I think it's time. I ate my words. Matt, I guess you don't really need to eat your words, seeing as you predicted a bit of Hocker action a couple of weeks ago, but I still think you were leaning towards Jakob, weren't you, when it came down to it?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, look, I put Hocker in my predictions on the prediction contest, which I'm proud of that. You know, I knew kind of like before the games, I was kind of team Hocker. Not team Hocker. I think the problem was I thought Hocker would win, but you know, part of me being a Brit, obviously you kind of want Kerr to win, and then just that kind of Jakob's journey and that romance there, you kind of want Jakob to win. So it was just like you just taunt in so many ways. But what a race, man. Like, Jesus Christ. We've both just kind of been talking about it.
Yeah, I think we knew that's what it was going to take to win that race. And we just thought that would come from either Jakob or Kerr.
Do you know what? I was surprised, man. I mean, like, I wasn't surprised, but I was just like, Jakob, why haven't you tried something different? He's done that. Obviously, now it's three times in a row, and he's lost three times in a row. He lost to Wyman. He lost to Kerr. And then now he's, you know, and now he's like really is come out the back door and he's come fourth. Like, he's not even getting silver anymore. He's come fourth because the standard, and basically every year I feel like the standard has got better and better and better. And Jakob has continued to try to outrun the field every single final. And like, it's just, it's not happening. It's not working. The 1500, it is a kicker's game. It's probably always been a kicker's game. I think there was this weird period where Chariot, obviously, 2019, was it? 20, obviously, Menangue came along, 2019, 2017, and stuff like that. You know, and they were able to front run, and they ran it hard and stuff like that. They would break the field. Like, they would actually gap the field, and they would be on their own. So effectively, those in third and fourth were front running. That hasn't happened in probably 4 years now, you know, and it's just like, I remember in Tokyo, you know, when Jakob won the gold, like, Wyman tried to kind of cover that move and just couldn't. And then he popped and he was the one kind of bridging that gap. But is he too stubborn for his own good? Like, that's the question. I mean, by the way, all of these men were just so gracious in defeat. I just thought their attitudes and stuff, we are living in a golden era. Like, the words Jakob's now come out and said, the way Kerr acted in his interviews on the track immediately after, obviously Nagus and Hocker are elated. But I just thought that all of these guys, just 10 out of 10 performers on and off the track.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, mate. I do think because neither of Kerr or Jakob won, it was easier to be like that. I think if, obviously, I'm not saying they're going to be like doing anything crazy, but I think it'd have been a lot more hostile had Kerr won that or had Jakob won that, you know.
Funny. It's funny.
I think they'd shake hands, but I don't think it'd have been like all fun and games, hugs and kisses, you know. There wouldn't be all, it wouldn't be the Instagram sob story, you know. But I think you make a great point. Mate, I said this after Monaco. Like, this is what I mean. Like, yeah, Jakob's upped his game, but he hasn't done anything that we haven't seen him do before. He's just doing it better. I think for me, he's just, what he's tried to do is do what he's always done, but just do it at a better level. And this time, like you said, he's just popped because he's gone too far. I think if he runs it slower, he still gets beat, but I think he gets second, and probably Kerr wins if we're being realistic. If Jakob just runs that kind of a notch slower, like a 3:29, but Hocker, man, like, just unbelievable race from him. He sat back, didn't get kind of worried about being in kind of fifth, on the rail the whole time, like, even kicking. It was, mate, it was like he was running a diamond league all the way around.
He nailed it.
Absolutely nailed it, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. And, you know, I think when you look at the first lap, what was Jakob, 54.8? Hocker was 55.6 on the first lap. You know, and the Goose was 55.5. These guys were, you know, 3/4 a second back. And then haven't got, you know, those details on like the second and third lap, although they went, you know, they slowed a little bit, then they 56, and then they picked it back up to 55 and stuff. And I suspect Hocker was just a lot more even there. And he obviously closed the hardest out of everyone. You know, his last lap inside 54 seconds. And it's interesting you say you think the, you know, Jakob, you think Kerr would have won if it was a slightly slower race.
I think positionally it wouldn't have, like, the gap wouldn't have opened up for Hocker down the inside if that's slightly slower. I think because Jakob, because Jakob popped,
yeah,
I think that, and he starts moving out, that let Hocker through. Like, no, you're not telling me Hocker wins if he has to swing outside in that race. And this is not me.
I reckon he would as well. You know,
you reckon
I
he would? Okay.
Hocker was so good, man. His kick, and like, we've got to give credit to Ben Thomas. I mean, he is probably the best 1500 meter coach in the world. I know that's easy to say because Hocker's just won a world, you know, Olympic title, but the way he trains his athletes, I mean, it's, you know, we saw this when he was at Virginia Tech and then Oregon, and obviously now he's gone back. But, you know, since Jerry's gone over to Oregon and stuff, but the way he coaches, and I think anyone who's been coached by Ben Thomas is just like all for Ben Thomas. Like, they love the guy. And I think they would all, you know, Gawley, Loki would probably still want to be coached by Ben Thomas, but it's just logistically couldn't work. Someone like Ben West, James West, easily, like, would want to be coached by Ben Thomas. Obviously, like, things have changed. They've moved on now, so they probably wouldn't be admitting that now. And that's probably fair. You know, they're both doing super well. But he is just, he's a magician, mate. He's a dynamo. He is, you know, so good. And, like, from the snippets we've heard about how he trains his athletes, there is so much change of pace work. There is so much work on that final kick. And what he's managed to do now is get Hocker to a place where he can actually run 330 speed, 329 speed, and kick off it. And now, Josh Kerr, for me, has the same problem Jakob's had over the last 3 years. How the hell does Josh Kerr win a global title with Cole Hocker now in the picture? Not just Cole Hocker, Jared Nagus in the picture. Hobbs Kessler was not far behind. Like, this result today may be enough for Jakob to turn around and go, do you know what? That tactic of mine, it's no good anymore. Like, as much as I want to prove to the world I can win a race, and I think he is stubborn and he does want to show the world that he can win front running, I think, look, three in a row, you have to admit, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. I've come into this championship, it's the fastest I've ever been. People can say about his injury or whatever, but he's run the fastest he's ever run this year, and it hasn't worked. He's got his worst result that he's ever had. Since, like, you know, 2019 when he was a kid. So what does Josh Kerr do now? Because if Jakob's not leading, what does Josh Kerr do? Does he leave it to a kick? You leave it to a kick against Hocker. It's like, does he?
Well, that's the thing. Like, is the game going to change? Are we going to start seeing another Centro 350, you know? Like, without Jakob in there, I don't know how they would run it. Like, you'd imagine someone like Nagus would probably hit the front, but I think the issue for Jakob is there's a stubbornness, but I also think it's still his best shot of doing the best.
No,
I think that's Jakob's issue. Obviously, he could work on things, but let's put these guys in 800 meters. Jakob's not coming out on top, so he has to.
The 800 argument run I actually that way. Find quite difficult because you look at Cole Hocker. I mean, look at, like, Josh Kerr, like, his 800. 144. Carl Hocker, 145. Jakob, I think his PB might be 146, but, like, he could definitely run a 145. Like, they're all very similar. So, like, the 800 argument, I always get a bit like, well,
no,
it's not
like
Hocker standing there and run 142, 143. He hasn't. He's the same.
No, I think they could. If these guys were racing 800s consistently, I'm saying we don't see the best of them in 800s because they don't really do them. My point is that I think if these guys were eight guys, Jakob is nowhere near the top of the pile if they're, like, consistently racing over 800. But the thing of the 1500, mate, like, you say it's an issue for Kerr. Obviously, it is from a personal perspective for him, but the whole point of the 1500 meters historically is that no one ever consistently wins. That's why the event is so loved, so watched, so interesting. So it's not, it's actually what we've had is a strange period of time where we've had someone we expect to win, because it's something we haven't seen really. Like we never see someone, or like only one person's ever gone back to back Olympics, for example, in Seb Coe on a men's side.
Yeah,
like in history,
difficult. Yeah,
it's not designed for someone to dominate year after year. So actually, like, yeah, it's an issue for Josh Kerr, but were we expecting what Kerr wins today? Were we expecting him to then come back in 4 years, do it again? I don't think so.
No, so, I suppose not. I just think, obviously, it's just, you know, we thought this was going to be a head-to-head with an outsider. And even just looking at, like, Nagus getting third and stuff, and the way Kessler ran, by the way, the way Laros ran as well, 3:29, national record, you know, he's still an under 20, for God's sake. Like, he's a freak.
Even Gawley, mate, I'm not being funny. Like, runs 3:30 in an Olympic final and finished 10th.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the Olympic, and look, the two Kenyans come out the back door, Cherry and Komen, right? And Komen jogs across the line, Cherry battles for a 3:31. And like, the game is just crazy. I mean, like, Laris is not getting enough credit low key because he was obviously further down the field, but he's broken Jakob's records. I think in LA, you know, I mean, Hocker's 23 years old, Jakob 23 years old, Laris is 19. This is just mental. These Kessler, forget his age. Is he like 20? 22 or something as well.
I don't think he's as old as that, mate.
No, he might be 21.
Yeah. 21, but even Josh Kerr, and this is what Josh Kerr said in his interview, like you're saying, like, he's run the best 1500 he's ever run. He's run 3:27.79.
Mm.
National record. So, yeah. Like, what more can you ask for from yourself? And I think that was what was great about his interview. Obviously, he's focused on some other guys. Obviously, he wants to win the race, but... When you put the race together like that.
The cool thing here is I was a little, you know, Josh Kerr, like, before the Olympics was talking about Grand Slam, talking about how after he wins his gold, he wants to go do, you know, some other stuff. But I wonder, you know, maybe next year that will change because obviously he's committed to Grand Slam now, and he might prioritise that next year. We're not sure how it's quite going to look and stuff, whatever. But... and he was talking about racing more, putting himself out there more. Like, does he truly believe that that is the way to, like, get to the next level? Or is that him just thinking ahead and thinking, I want to cash in a little bit. I want to race. I want to put myself out there. So,
but I think in the off year, it probably is the best thing to do. Because, like,
yeah, to race.
Is the grinding, like, for training really going to add something? Whereas, look at today, it was lost because Hocker ran a better race. Obviously, he's run a quick time, don't get me wrong, but it's still from a... it's still a tactical thing or a physical thing in relation to pace change. It's not about who is the fittest, because I still think we all agree on their day. If we just... This is why we run the race, right? Like, if we put them in a lab, I still... Like, Jakob comes out on top.
100%.
100%. This is why we run the race, you know?
Yeah. But this was interesting. You know, I was just going to say that the fire in Kerr to go again in 4 years in LA and win, I guess, against the Americans. You expect they're going to be strong in 4 years. Like, that would just be absolutely epic. And hopefully he kind of
does. Yeah, Kerr's going to be like, what, 31? He
shapes up well enough.
Is that right?
Be 30 years old, man.
30, so ideal. Yeah. Got another one in there. The other thing I wanted to say on this, what Jakob are we going to see in this 5K now after that? Because when he came second the first time, I think it was such a ridiculous Jakob. We were like, right, there's no way he's going to come out and he's going to be so mad. With fourth, though, I'm like, does it knock his confidence? Like, does it go past the point of putting fire on his belly?
Yeah, I think, and it's been such fine margins before. Like, Whiteman edged him out. Kerr edged him out. Yeah, three guys beat him today. He checking his that glance on the back straight was so weird at that point in the race. 2:40 to go. How, 2:20 to go. How are you checking your shoulder?
Well, it slows you down. That
Yeah,
costs you. That costs you meters at the
did
time.
you look
It's
behind? That was really weird.
yeah.
And so there was little things, you're starting to then go, yeah, when you talk about confidence and mentality and on the home straight and stuff, is he sort of just going and this is the first time, by the way, and I almost feel like he had to do this after all the shit he got last year for saying Kurz, or it was it Wyman's the next guy, Kurz the next guy, whatever, and kind of saying like, I'm still the better man. And as much as people hate him for that, we said at the time, like, if you truly believe you're the best in the world, it would be very difficult to admit to the world in front of a camera that you're not. Do you know what I mean? And like Jakob, I truly believe he did think that. Whether he still does now after today's result, like you said, and he kind of came out and these guys ran really well, they're better than me, blah blah blah, which was amazing to see, that sportsmanship at its very best. But don't know, just little things like that, the body language, the change, like, is, like you said, is he going to doubt himself a little bit there? But it'll be interesting to see the 5K. We look forward to the heats tomorrow. We'll kind of talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But one thing I wanted to say, which I think is sometimes the Americans, we've discussed this before, Americans' Achilles heel is the fact that trials are so hard, especially in the distance races. We go, oh man, the trials are so hard. They have to come to the championships and try and perform, 4 or 5 weeks later. However, those US champs, Kessler, Nagus, Hocker, and you've got loads of other guys in there that obviously didn't make the team. I'm thinking about like Cooper Tier, Craig Engels, like people like that, who were battling for that team. That is such good preparation. And it was, I was only a sort of Nagus, say about like the way Hocker won the American trials. Nagus obviously knew what shape he was in, and he was like, they truly believe they could go to the Olympic Games and do something special. And I think that is a massive advantage because I guess the closest we have to those US champs is the Europeans. Closest we have.
I
And
think,
that was
and like
before,
you
to be
say,
fair.
in the 15, I think, yeah, maybe you got the mental fatigue of USA's, but the physical fatigue, not so bad. As like maybe for like a Hobbs Keslow, who's doubled. Like, I mean, that's crazy. That's
Mate,
six
we're gonna see
races.
him in the 800 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But or like the guys who double at USA's in the 5 and the 10. But 3 1500s, maybe you could do it 6. 8 weeks out might be optimum, like, but like you say, they've just gone 1, 3, and 5, and they've prepped for 3 rounds, fast racing, high pressure scenarios.
But I feel like they have that year on year as well, which is probably their asset. And obviously, they all come through the NCAA system. Saying now, obviously Hobbs hasn't, but he's been racing US champs at the age of an
Even
18
had
year
it in
old.
high
So
school, he'd have had high school
yeah,
meets that were
so
big pressure.
they have that, and I just think it is a little bit of an asset there. But mate, what a terrific final. I mean, there's so much we can dissect, and we're gonna get the big man Matt Stoney on tomorrow to kind of talk about it in a little bit more detail, and obviously talk about Ben Patterson's chances. He gets his campaign going tomorrow morning in the 800. Interestingly, in Paris, I bumped into Dave Reagan today. And it's kind of crazy. Like, you walk away from, like, we're actually wandering around the Eiffel Tower and bumped into Dave, and you're like, God, this guy is like, he's got an athlete who is going to be going for gold, going to be going for a medal. He's a world medalist already. And it's just like, he's just wandering around the Eiffel Tower, like, no one, no one knows who he is. And just like, I was speaking to him about, did you go to the holding camp at all? Did you go and see Ben? He couldn't get time off work. And it's like, the job he is doing with that man. And like, obviously,
Humble sport,
Ben,
isn't it?
huh?
It's a humble sport for some people,
Such a
isn't it?
humble
Like,
sport, man. Such a humble sport, and
I
like,
think for
behind
me,
all
it's
these,
the gap, like, because you've got that, and then you've got, like, for example, like Keeley's setup. And I'm
well,
not, this is not me,
this was
this is not
exactly
me
what I was
knocking
alluding to.
anything, do you know what I mean? But it's the fact that, like, you got obviously Keeley kind of more of like a an ex- expectation of gold, but you've got like 2 800 meter runners, both from the UK, both shooting for like for medals and more.
Yeah.
And there's just so many ways to do it, and I think it's just yeah, I'm not saying one's better than the other, you know, but it's so interesting, isn't it, in athletics, like the kind of disparity between some of these environments.
It is so weird how it happens, you know, because like I think some coaches obviously don't want the limelight, don't need it, don't like it, whatever. But yeah, it is like you think about Keeley's setup and Trevor Painter, like we all know who he is, like, you know, he's on the TV, etc. And then you've got like Dave Reagan, who's impacting, you know, so many athletes from grassroots all the way up to Patterson at the highest level. And yeah, like he probably doesn't get, I don't think he gets the recognition that he deserves. Like what he's done in this sport from grassroots to the top is just crazy. And he's still like, you know, coaching all those, you know, all those guys at the club, at Basingstoke and Richard McNeil and people like that. And it's just, you know, he's a genius. So yeah, just wanted to give him a little bit of shout out before Patterson gets his kind of campaign off tomorrow.
Absolutely. Speaking of Keeley and stuff, mate, we better get our teeth stuck into that women's 800 because
come on.
Obviously yesterday, that went down. Keeley got the gold. Perhaps a different race to what we expected, mate.
Yeah, really weird race. I was in the stadium for it. So it's obviously weird in the stadium because you're just like complete eyes on for the race, but you don't get any replays. You don't get any context of like, you know, Crammy and commentary, Hutchins, whatever. So like all your opinions and like summaries of the race are like purely yours. So you haven't had any like bias creep in and stuff yet, which I think is quite
cool.
I
mean, the commentary is not that helpful sometimes.
No, but you know what it's like on TV, then you get the post-race interview and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
but I'm messing. Yeah, and so you can kind of make your own opinion of it, which is cool. And yeah, I mean, originally I was just surprised that how easily she dominated off of a relatively like relaxed first lap for these women in the field. And I was
you
like,
say
yeah.
That I thought this at first, right? But you say that, and then actually, she's just running even 156, which they can't do.
I think this is the
biggest misconception in the 800 is that people kick, right? And even 156 is not a lot of women in the world can do that.
Well, none,
so,
except Keeley.
Yeah, this well, and that's what she did. So.
And that's, I think, yeah, that's the nail on the head. And that's what I was going to get to, you know, like her last 100 was phenomenal. She just beasted away from the field, stepped it up another gear. But yeah, she basically just was maintaining, you know, I think she was 29 high, 29, you know, low for that last lap. Yeah, and coming home in 156 high. And yeah, she just, I honestly feel like as well, like and as soon as it happened, I was like, looking at Keeley via the rest of the world, and like, not that running is all about the aesthetics. Like, if you looked at like Kerr's form compared to Hocker's in that last like 20, 30 meters, you're kind of going like, oh, surely Kerr is like the more polished athlete here, you know? But
yeah.
Like, as Hocker's like going his arms in, like, even like the goose, like, good example. Like, his, but when I look at just like Keeley in general, her professionalism, her setup, her form, just like the way she can dominate 800 races. And this is, I honestly think if she doesn't get injured, this is the start of a 3-4 year domination. Like, this is the start of a David Rudisha.
Mate, I think, yeah, and I think she's going to go and chase a fast time now. I think she thought about it today. And I think they were hinting on comms. I'm sure Crammy's got some inside info that, the plan was to maybe go quicker than that. She kind of mentioned that herself. And then she drew up on the rounds. She kind of said, actually, I realised I was quite tired from the rounds. The girls around me are quite tired from the rounds.
Let's get it gold
and
first.
That's it. Like, and because how many of us, right? We would sit there. If she'd gone out in, I don't know, 57 low, right? And then you blow up.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, what are you playing at? Blah, blah, blah. But then the same people that were going, oh, she's going to run the world record. And to run the world record, you
I
have
never
to do that.
please.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like you have to go run 56 at least in the first lap. So I think she did a really smart thing. Like, she's got to remember, well, I think, yeah, she hadn't won before. She'd not got the major title on a world or Olympic stage. So you've got to get that job done first. She's done that. She can go and chase times now if she wants to this year. Or next time it rolls around, like you said, she can do it in the next world's final. She can do it in the Olympic final if she wants to do on that stage. But she's made sure she's got that gold medal now. And it doesn't matter how you go and do it. But I think, yeah, super kind of professional performance. I think she got to the front to make sure that no one was going to get in her way. Always a clean run. But she's just confident that when it comes down to it, she can pull away. And she was always saving something to respond to any little move, you know.
Mate, honestly, I think that takes so much like courage and confidence to be able to do that as well. Like the way she just like shrugged Moore off, and like, you know, Moore like comes up on her shoulder, 180 to go, 150 to go, and she just, there was not once in that race did she ever panic. I don't even, obviously we're not inside her mind, but I don't think she ever doubted herself in that race. And this is what I mean, like looking at that field, considering that was the best in the world, and you know, people will say maybe a Thing Mu will kind of get back to her best. I think a Thing Mu at her very best, Keely now in this day and age, beats Mu hands down.
Yeah, like, what I want though, I want to see a Thing Mo back at her best.
I don't
then
think
watch
she's back
the
to
match
her best,
up.
To be honest. But
no, but I hope she does, so that we see Keely, like you say, beat Mo at her best, you know. Because they're the matchups he won, in the same way that when Jakob had his little injury, we wanted him to come back.
Oh, certain, for certain.
And run his PB, so that we see the matchups, you know. So yeah, let's hope that happens. But yeah, congrats to Keely. That was a phenomenal run. I was just gonna say as well, did you see, obviously she mentioned like the recovery from the rounds, did you see the gear she was saying from the night recovery guys, in between the rounds? She's wearing like some mad vest, these like crazy boots. She said herself, it makes it look like a robot. Like the
what?
Recovery tools.
It?
Yeah,
Where's
I think
from?
it was on her Instagram story. After
Shit,
this, after the semi final, but yeah, so getting some, yeah, mass support from Nike as you can expect. So I thought that was pretty interesting insight.
Oh man, there's no stone, you know, left unturned with her. And you know, when you look at her setup, the way that, you know, she's now, and it's funny, I was talking about this with someone the other day after she won, well, yesterday after she won, and like, obviously, like, her training will maybe change slightly as she, like, gets a little bit older and, you know, over the next couple of years. But I think short term, you know, next year, year after, maybe even 3 years, whatever she's done this year, like, surely, like, she's just got, like, the winning formula now. And she just has to, like, we talk about, you know, it's funny because you talk, you know, George Mallet comes on, tells us about Kipchoge, and his like constant just repeats the same formula every time he does a marathon. And it's like, you know, Jakob repeats pretty much the same formula anytime he gets, you know, throughout the year and gets to a track season. And you speak to elites and they do, like, it's so repetitive, and like past and present elites. And, you know, they're not changing their training every year because they're clearly doing something that works. And like, now she's got that formula and she knows what she has to do to get into this shape, etc. You kind of just like, she's just gonna go bang, 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 and that's why I just think she's gonna be dominating. And look, you know, further down the field, what Duguma is second. Like Duguma, obviously that was a PB, by the way, 157.1, and she was probably the, you know, the one girl who gave it a bit of a shot. Mary Moore, I don't think ever kind of got with it, in my opinion. You know, Duguma took it up, then Keely went round her, and like, I was kind of expecting more to challenge at some point.
Yeah,
go
she looked like she was coming, and then just kind of faded back, didn't she? Like, so.
Yeah, and I think the whole time, especially in 800s, if you're on the shoulder of someone or running neck and neck, it's very easy for the person to hold you, it's easier, shall I say, for the person to hold you off because they're feeling your stride. You know, when you surge, they can match it because they know exactly when you're picking it up. Whereas if you're directly behind someone and kind of like slingshot them, like we see so many times on the home straight, you can kind of catch them by surprise. They haven't got enough time to relax. They might panic, tense up, etc. But yeah, so like,
I mean, that's like we were saying earlier. That's why Keeley's performance was so mature, because he could have come around the bend and then absolutely just dropped the hammer then. But then if anyone comes up beside you, you've got nothing left.
Yeah.
Whereas instead, all she did was make sure that, okay, they're coming, I'm just going to increase slightly. They're coming again, I'm going to increase slightly. Then she's like, well, 50 to go. I know that if I go now, no one's coming with me. And then she just stretched away.
Yeah.
You always save something. Salazar used to say the same about Farah. Like, there was always the way. It's like, in the last straight, he always had an extra gear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you look like you're sprinting with 400 to go in that 10K, but even 100 to go, he kicks. But you've always got something else just when someone comes up beside you, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And that's what she nailed. So, yeah, it was a Keeley show, man. And, you know, she's inspiring so many people. And, you know, again, just as I was mentioning, kind of Dave Reagan doing a great job. To be fair to Trevor and Jenny, they're doing a fantastic job coaching the next generation as well. And people, the amount of people who kind of know Keeley on a personal level, I think is really good for the sport in the UK. Anyway, and the 800, like, development.
Oh, yeah, they got
in the UK. Just a quick great one, group, I guess.
Yeah.
Ricky and Gil watching that final. Like, you know, what are they thinking? Like, because I looked at that and I was like, God, we definitely could have got, obviously so easy to say, but I do think we could have got a couple get, you know, maybe like America did in the 15 today at 1-3. I think it was.
You say that, mate. Honestly, I think having watched Riki's semi,
probably, right? Tagum is a world indoor champ, and
Riki would have just sat on the shoulder of Keeley, and then probably blown up like she did in the semi. I don't think she, because they would not have disrupted Keeley's race. Like, they would not have like made any sort of moves. They'd have done what everyone else did in that field. So, and have they got better kicks than Tagum and Mora?
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't like it was, like we said, like in the last Olympics, we saw the pace go super fast.
Yeah.
And then people are like coming backwards, people are like coming through because they paced it well. Actually, in this, it was just a kind of a decent pace race for people at this level.
Mm-hmm.
So it was who could really hold it together in the last 100. Like, don't get me wrong, they could have done well, but I don't think any more so than. Because in the same way, that's why they got knocked out. Because in the semi, it was a pretty,
yeah, you're pretty right,
similar yeah, kind of race, you know, yeah, just not at the same level.
Yeah, yeah. I think then, you know, we'll move on to the 5,000, but I think both these 800 and 1500s have just showed that when it comes to a championship, you need to have more in you than a good time. Like, what is your strength? And like, how, you know, how many people can go, okay, my strength, I can change pace really well, I can do this really well. Like, what is, and I think it's shown, you know, Carl Hocker's come into the championship, which is a massive strength. Keeley's strength is just the ability to kind of dictate races. And like, you can do that when you're the best, when you're so much better than everyone else. Like, and you just look at people who've managed to get through the rounds or people who have got knocked out, and they've just been a bit lost, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But mate, so women's 5,000 then, Jesus, I mean, the confusion with Kipyegon getting DQ'd, I mean, that was ridiculous. I've never seen anything so stupid in my life. I mean, by the way,
there's nowhere near the end as well. It was nowhere near the end as well.
Mate, there were a few road decisions in that session. Like, obviously Kipyegon, she got reinstated with silver, so we won't even bother kind of talking about it too much. But the men's steeple as well, like the guy like got reinstated into the final. He kind of deserved to, Sarum of Kenya, because his last 500 was ridiculous. With that kick, he's in with a good shot of winning the whole bloody thing. But I've never seen that in my life. Like, someone failed to qualify, and it's kind of low-key his fault for like just not being self-aware enough and knowing when the barrier's coming, and like just dropping back, positioning yourself a little bit better to get run off the track and then have to go back and do it. That was, for me, that's the athlete's fault. I don't know how you can like get bumped into the final, but anyway, that was a rogue official decision, which happened as well. But yeah, women's 5,000. I mean, was this a shock? And does this mean that Kip Yegon is vulnerable in the 1500 as well? We talk about Jakob, but you know, her. I thought in a race like that, she would be unbeatable. I guess she was just a bit like, I think she just went to the front too far out and stuff. You know, she maybe just didn't pay the others, again, like, enough respect in that sense.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. What I would say is this 10K, don't wanna make any more rogue predictions, but we said about Beatrice Chebet before the champs, but surely she's going to absolutely destroy the 10K, you know. After her run to outkick Kip Yegon. But yeah, the thing is, she beat Chebet in the Kenyan trials, right? At altitude. She's obviously had confidence, and maybe it's not kind of out of respect, but she's thinking, well, yeah, I can run away from anyone, because they didn't run that quick for these ladies, like, you know. And it did kind of come down to almost an 800 meter race at the end.
What
I would say with Kip Yegon is that, for me, unlike the Jakob, actually, I think we're going to see a really fierce. Okay, Kip Yegon, I mean, well, we'll get into those heats in a bit, but she just kind of got on the track and did the business today in those 15 heats. But I actually think for Kip Yegon, this is going to be more fire in the belly, as it was for Jakob previously. I think she still comes second. She's just been run out of it. I think she's going to be super motivated for the 1500.
You say this. You say this, but I think the same problems could happen. You know, Kip Yegon, she's what, just under a second or just over a second better than Jess Hull on paper. Is that a big enough cushion when you don't have pacemakers, you don't have wave lights, and you're not in a one-off race scenario? Like, Kip Yegon is tired. And I'm sorry, she's done 2 5,000-meter races, one where she's got second, and dealing with that, she's then doubled back and done the 15. Like, just those 2 5,000 races alone, I would say that is basically the difference between her and Jess Hull, which is that second. Surely that's like being eliminated now, like, with those 2 5Ks in your legs. No, mate, honestly, I think that. And I think if she does, you know, if she tries to go from far out, like, I mean, I want to say like 6-7 women sub 4 in like in the heats today. That Sophia Sullivan's like didn't qualify at the heat and she ran 4 dead. Like, all these women are probably capable of 3:56. Honestly, like,
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just still
think
you've
got Jess Hull and Co. who can run 3:50, 3:51. And I just think if Kip Yegon, she's under threat, mate. We thought she was a lock going into the championships in the 5. Thought she was a lock in the 15 as well. But actually, the way. Obviously, yeah, yesterday panned out, and then obviously having that in her legs and now the 15, I'm like, oof.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I think I still back Kip Yegon. But yeah, don't get me wrong, we even said before this that Jess Hull is a big threat. So don't discount her. But hey, what about Hassan and Battaglietti then? Because fabulous runs from them. Well, we've seen Hassan on the track a few times this year, it's not gone well at all. Come here when it counts. She got the bronze. She had the silver for a bit. I think, people should be worried in the 10. But she's talking in her interviews about, she's just thinking about the marathon.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Look, the marathon strength she's got, seeing as it sounds like she's been focusing on that, she's just come third in the 5. You got to think now the 10, actually. Obviously, I just mentioned how Chebet is going to destroy everyone, but Hassan in the 10 is going to be lethal, you'd think. Battaglietti, to see a European so close to a medal, did have the bronze for a bit. Obviously, we mentioned that kind of the DQ for a little bit. 14:31 from the Italian, phenomenal run.
That is insane.
Mate, just exciting, isn't it?
For the rest, I mean, it was the two, I want to say she ran 235, 236 for that last K as well. Bataclety, you know, she's running well inside 4 minute pace for that last like K to 1200. Actually, I haven't got the last mile split or anything like that, but I bet she was close to four flat for that last 1500 comfortably. You know, and then
Bataclety is still 24. You know.
Yeah, she's crazy. It's madness, mate. I honestly, like, she is. I really do hope that she can go on. I mean, Grovda had a decent run for eighth, and she's kind of been one of the strongest Europeans in a while. But, you know, Bataclety looks like the real deal. We saw Grant Fisher get on the podium. And I just feel like Bataclety, like, she's going to, yeah, she'll be on the podium. If all things go well, you'd hope in LA, but she might be sooner as well. Like, you know, even like world champs and stuff, but it's just so good to see, to be honest with you. Because, yeah, you know, although Hassan is European, she's just a freak in nature. And she's been excellent for so many years, but like, yeah, to see like another European, like Bataclety, like do what she's doing, I think it's a big inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously someone that we recently just seen in like under 23 champs, not that long ago. But yeah, let's get into this 3,000 meter steeplechase then, because we had absolutely loads of finals, haven't we? Mate, this is one of the, obviously we've mentioned kind of Keely dominating and just absolutely knowing how to dominate a race and run around race. For me, Yavi, the Bahrainian, obviously the world champ, now the Olympic champ, winning that, she did not put a foot wrong in that race. All she's doing the whole time is stalking those leaders, wherever she needs to. She sits in fifth because they're all closed up. Then it's like, okay, two are going off, I'm going to sit in third. Okay, someone's falling off, I'm going to sit in second. And then she just goes on the home straight. I just think she was just the most relaxed throughout the whole race, just chilling, waiting for her moment. And that was a dominant performance for me.
Nailed it, mate. I mean, Cheptegei in the 10K. You know, we didn't see much of him, and then but he's there at the right time. Yavi, exactly the same. Absolutely nailed it. 8:52 as well. Like, that's the fastest we've seen for a long time. You know, all of them running PBs, area records, champion records, all that kind of stuff, national records. But yeah, I mean,
still another crazy stat. Sorry, mate. It was still on the women's side,
yeah.
Kenya and Ethiopia never won the Olympic women's steeple.
Yeah, it is crazy, you know, especially when Chip Coates is the world record holder, and how good she was, 2018 when she set that time. She just felt like a bad time, I guess. She was 3 years out from the Olympics, she wouldn't have known that. And then obviously, you know, just after Tokyo and stuff as well. But mate, we got to talk about Lizzie Bird down in seventh place running 9:04. I mean, the women's steeple in general, like, at what point does it get to? I mean, I think it's pretty much almost there in a sense that, like, for so many years, it was like just developing, if that makes sense. Like, every year was getting, I guess the depth was just getting so much more each year. Not only were the times at the top getting faster, although I feel like the times at the top are like very similar, I guess, to the 8 minute barrier with the men. Like, they're just constantly hovering around that 9 minute mark. Mm. And yes, you get freak races where they go sub 9 minutes and they run 8:52 like they did today. But a lot of races are kind of between 8:56, 57 and like 9:05 sort of thing. But then today it was just like proof that the rest of the world, the depth is there even more than it ever has been, as you'd expect. And like Lizzie Bird running 9:04 for a national record, that is just, I mean, it kind of went, I don't know, like, I think because everyone on social media as well was just going like Josh Kerr crazy, Cole Hawker crazy, like, because that men's 1500 was like the highlight of the night. I feel like Lizzie Bird has been overlooked quite a lot here. Like, I don't think I've seen, I mean, haven't been on my phone crazy amounts since, but like, I have, you know, we haven't seen many like posts about Lizzie Bird's national record, put it that way.
Yeah. Mate, and Lizzie Bird, time and time again, she just gets it right at the major championships. Always produces a PB, which is always normally a national record as well, in a major final. I think that's the third time we've seen her do that now. I'd have to check. We'll talk also about Fino, the French athlete, 8:58, European record in fourth. So fabulous run from her. I'm sure the home crowd will be pleased. But yeah, Lizzie Bird, phenomenal run. Obviously, she had that injury last year, but she's back. And I think that's exactly what we predicted, mate. I think we said she's going to probably finish in the top eight and run another British record in the final.
Yep. And one thing on Fino, I did want to say, I think she ran close to a 251 last K or something stupid. Her last K was definitely the fastest in the race out of anyone. Like, it was ridiculous. Had that French crowd on side, I guess. But my goodness, yeah, to do what she did, 858, that is just like... but that's the nature of the home crowd. Also, actually, on the steeple, in the men's steeple, I want to say his name. I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Gilbert or Gilbert, whatever his name is.
I don't know, mate. I can't help you for mate, once.
The men's steeple. Anyway, I'm just going to say he did a fantastic celebration. You guys probably didn't see it on TV, but he literally, like, I think he got eighth or ninth in his heat. I double checked the results, but and then literally does a victory lap because the crowd was so good for him, and he stands on top of the steeple, does a backflip into the steeple, like this is career ending injury waiting to happen. But I just thought, you know, fair play. This is a man who was just soaking it up out there.
Seen a picture of it. It literally looks like it's been photoshopped. It looks like they put one of the high jumpers in the steeple pit. Photoshop. That does not look real. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure James Rhodes tweeted that. So go have a look. If I presume it was his pick. Go and have a look at that if you haven't. Because it's a great celebration. Absolutely. But yeah, that's the women's steeple. Having too much to report. Great race, honestly. Like, yeah, if you kind of got caught up in the. In the 1500,
we did, man. Really, we did.
I didn't watch that. I would recommend.
Immediately after it was kind of crazy, and it's always tough when you have like, and we're gonna see it. It's gonna happen, basically most nights now because you've just got these amazing sessions coming up. Like, you know, especially Saturday night when we've got the men's 8 final, the men's 5K final, like these crazy finals, and one of them is probably always gonna just slightly outshine the other, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I'd recommend going and watching that women's steeple back because, fabulous, fabulous race from Yabby and a great, great kind of example of just chilling in a great position and going through when it counts. But yeah, other stuff today, that's kind of all our finals from the past couple of days we've not chatted through. Time to chat about these women's 1500 meter heats and then we'll kind of preview a couple of the events tomorrow. As well, but this is a massive bonus set for you guys, so hopefully you've made it this far.
Yeah, but yeah, women's 15 heats obviously this morning. I mean, what can we take away? I mean, we mentioned about Kipyegon. Funny enough, actually, Sege, I know, Hassan was given, you know, basically just saying like she's just a bit of a rough character when she's racing. She's just like does a lot of pushing and shoving. I think Hassan was very, very pleased that Kipyegon got reinstated to her silver. So she wins heat one. Like again, another athlete who bounces back looking good. Muir I thought looked really good.
Really classy run for Muir.
Yeah. And it was just, I mean, like I said, the depth in the women's 1500 is crazy right now. We just mentioned the steeple, but the 1500 is crazy, you know, all six qualifiers inside 4 minutes in that first.
And heat. Even just that first heat, like that's a final result from not even a final result. That's a Diamond League result from a few years ago. Yeah. 358, 358, 359, 59, 59, 59, 4 flat, 4 flat, 401, 402. That's a Diamond League result from a few years ago.
Easy. So, I mean, and I'm going to be careful not to jump to too many conclusions. I feel like we did it in the men's a little bit.
Hey, it's what the people want. They like to tell us we're wrong. So,
yeah, it's true. But George Bell for me just looks so good. And the more I watch this athlete, the more I start to think she could get a medal.
Hey, I think
that might be outrageous because she might get knocked out in the semis. You know, she might just, it might be a crazy pace in the final and she can't quite live with it. But even the fact she's run 3:56, I think she goes quicker than that as well. Like, that's, I honestly think she could probably run 3:54 right now. And then
Let's
I'm
put it
going.
this way, right? If you said, I think Laura Muir's got an outside shot at a medal, no one's questioning you, right?
Yeah. She does, by the
And
way.
then you think to yourself, who's a better athlete right now, Georgia Bell or Laura Muir? Not including kind of their history. Who are you betting on winning a race right now? It's probably pretty close, and I bet a
Yeah,
fair
it's
few people
tough.
out there are saying Georgia Bell. So then I don't think you're that crazy, mate, saying that.
Fair enough then. Yeah, maybe I'm not. I just thought she looked exceptional today. And she's just a good racer. Like, her positioning's good, and like she hangs on at the right time. She kind of backs off at the right time. Like, she's just yeah, really, really smart, just so smooth. And like Hocker did today, where there was a lot going on up front. I mean, Hocker, I counted at 800 to go, he was in 7th place. And then with 400 to go, he was in 4th or something like that. And I just feel like Georgia Bell is someone who, because she can kind of look at what he's done and go, okay, like, Georgia Bell can be back in 8th, 7th, even with kind of like 500, 600 to run, a lap to run even. And she, I think she can come through, especially if this race is fast and women get after it, because I think there are going to be some tired legs out there.
There's
And
going to be some
none
big
other.
casualties.
I think there will be. Yeah. I mean, like, Segai's doubling back. Obviously, we know Kipyegon's doubling back. We expect her still to medal, no doubts. But, you know, Waltijee and people like that, like, you just know they're going to go with it. I feel like they will. By the way, and another athlete I want to talk about is Chipchichir, because she was in Jess Holhey to finish 5th, but now is she a smooth mover, mate? That is a female as well kid probably ever I've seen one. Not because I think she's
Yeah.
doping, but just her form is just like off
Yeah.
the charts.
I was gonna say, yeah, hopefully without the added extras. But yeah,
Hopefully.
absolutely, mate. Like, phenomenal athlete. Also in that heat, Ellie St-Pierre. We know what she can do. Obviously, she was only third of the US trials, but her coach was talking after that and saying, look, she's going to Paris and she's in the shape to medal. So a lot of people in this, and I think you bang on, mate, about people doubling back. It does open the door to some of these other athletes who are just purely focusing on this event to really come and clean up. Obviously, got to chat about Reveille as well. I think she did all the right things. You know, he like tried to put herself in a good position. I think it was just like today, it was a little bit too much, and let's just hope that she can come back in that repechage tomorrow. Get herself through, and then hopefully those semis aren't as brutal as they were in the men's, because I mean that's the thing. We just, as we've kind of said about those rounds, it's kind of just making it doubly unfair, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she even in her interview, you know, she said she's plenty good enough to make it through the repêchage. So I think she's pretty confident about getting through that. So yeah, we'll just see how that one unfolds. I feel a bit sorry for her. She said she got clipped a few times, but hey, again, you know, this is another example of like, that's 1500 racing, and you've got to be able to cope with it. You've got to be able to cope with being pushed and shoved, and you know, having to accelerate sometimes when you don't want to accelerate, but it's for the greater good. You know, to kind of protect your position and stuff like that. And that's what it's about. So yeah, I mean, but as for, you know, I guess with the race, the final, like making the final would be exceptional. You know, I think, yeah, you probably do kind of have like semi-finalist next to her name at the moment, especially now she's got to go through this repechage. So but yeah, I just want to say, like, Bell and Muir and stuff, they're looking good, man. So see how the semi-finals go. They're obviously going to be a lot harder, and go from there. But yeah, it was a good day of athletics today. Fantastic day, obviously. And I guess, mate, tomorrow time it's time to start previewing things for tomorrow, because we're going to have the men's steeple final. Talk about those steeple heats if you want. They were really good watch. As per, and a little part of me just wonders if, you know, the big two are gonna run away with it, or is someone gonna be able to contest them? You know, and took the big two being Albacali and Gurman, like they both have been, had a little bit of an up and down season, and we haven't seen that much of them. And yes, they were good yesterday. But you know, when you're running 8:17 and 8:23, and you know they're closing in 59:60 last lap, like they close at that speed when they're running basically 8 flat. So, you know, who can kind of challenge these guys?
To me, if anyone upsets that party, it's Simon Kohech. Every time I watch the guy, I'm just looking and I'm like, you're just everything you need from a steeplechaser. Do you know what I mean? Like his form, like the way he hurdles, like his change of pace. And I think he's obviously a young athlete coming up against two of the best that have ever been, like, I guess, you know, in a way, like in terms of the kind of the way we've had this two horse battle for the past few years. But I'm not saying I think he will. Like, I backed Albacali before because I think in championship races, mate, he's just phenomenal. He knows how to win. He knows how to get the job done. But yeah, if anyone upsets those two, I think it'll be Simon Kohech.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do think about the race is I do think it'll be a slow race because I just can't see Albacali or Gurman like wanting to push this one on. And then, you know, the other guys in the field who like will push it on, they can't run 8 minute pace, 8:05 pace, even front running, because that's just like, that's suicide for them. So even if they run at a decent clip, you're probably looking at like it'll be around about 8:15, and then they'll kick off of that, maybe run at 8:10-ish.
We're talking other events about people who are like doubling back in events, mate. The worst one is the steeplechase, like just one heat of that thing.
Just
ruins people. So
mate, and they give it the same respects to give the five, right? Mm. It's very similar. But then in many ways I feel like with a five you are doing something that your body's probably a little bit more used to. And I guess steeplers are used to jumping and stuff, but just because the impact there as well, your muscles just always gonna come off worse. Than even in a five where you can have and let's be honest, a lot of those 5K heats, you know, you can run pretty relaxed and then it's a hard close. Yes, you're on the track for 12 and a half laps, but you know,
even if you're going slow, mate, going over barriers is never,
well, that's what
never
I mean.
Good, never good on the legs. You know?
If you go and jump 35 barriers, you know, your muscles just gonna be knackered and be shattered the next day. So, and obviously they're professionals.
Charge round, shouldn't we, mate, for the steeple?
Fucking hell, that would be pointless because there would be absolutely no hope for any poor sucker making it through to the semis or final equivalent.
Yeah. Maybe one thing to chat about, Jordy Beamish.
I was just gonna say, like,
not making it through.
Yeah, there are others, and you know, my man Kenneth Rooks, who I said has an outside shot of a medal. He obviously closed exceptionally well as per, and they were in that last heat, you know, where they ran 8:23 and they closed in 202, 203 for that last 800. Georgie Beamish, like, what was he doing? Like, he was giving them so much respect, and they were running at the start, they were running 8:50, 8:55 pace, you know, the opening K. And I think they hit 2K in 5:50.
It's 8:45 I did pace. See.
And like, you're just giving them, like, his tactic in Diamond Leagues where he sits off it is obviously a very good tactic because people do get a bit carried away and it's single file and you haven't got that many bodies to work around and he gets stronger and stronger and stronger and, you know, that's when he's at his best. But when they're running that slow, mate, you just need to, like, I feel like you need to pay closer order because they basically, the likes of Gurma, Rooks, Coach, these guys made a move and Beamish was like, he couldn't close it because when they start running 62s, if you're going to close that, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to have to run 60s, and he's not capable of that. So,
I mean, the thing with Beamish, I've seen, I don't know if it was an interview or a Instagram post, I actually can't remember, to be honest. He talks about his preparation being very, very messed up and he didn't really make the start line. So, I don't know whether perhaps actually he was maxed out anyway. He's basically said that in the past like 4 weeks, I think he said 4 to 6 weeks, he's not been able to train. He's basically been doing, he's been on the bike, or he's been like kind of slamming the painkillers and just doing a session. And he's just been in an agony every single day, basically. So,
oh shit, I didn't. Obviously, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it actually he was just maxed out, mate.
This context,
you know. Maybe it was his Instagram post. So yeah, I guess if anyone else is interested, go have a look at that. If not, it was an interview. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. But yeah, so he kind of talks about how like he was actually privileged to kind of race in the Olympics, you know, and he kind of nearly didn't make the start line. So bit of a shame not to see obviously the world indoor 1500 meter champion contesting that steeplechase final. But yeah, obviously that's our only final for tomorrow, like distance side. But we do have, as we mentioned, those men's 800 heats kicking off, which will include Ben Patterson, Elliot Giles, and Max Bergen in those. And then, of course, the men's 5,000 meters, where we'll see Jakob Ingebrigtsen back again. Big news on the circuit, though, we will not see Jacob Kiplimo, and we will not see Joshua Cheptegei. Team Uganda have come out and they've said that their policy is to put the athlete ahead of medals, and these boys have not been able to recover sufficiently from their 10,000 meter race the other night.
Mate, that's, I mean, it's funny, you know, when I
be careful, it, Matt, be careful what you say, mate. Be careful what you say, you know.
Yeah, be careful what I'm just gonna say. No, I was just saying, like, isn't that what, like, you talk about putting the athlete first and stuff and looking out for their future and their career and stuff, but like doing a 5K and 10K double like that is literally history. Like, very few men in the world have ever done that. I think there's four, right? Just like, do you not want to do that? Like, what do you train for? Like, I know you train, you've got the 10K gold, like, amazing, well done. Especially like Kiplimo. Like, do you not want to double back and redeem yourself a little bit? You know, after the 10, and it was a grueling race, it was. And I think Grant Fisher, like, he even came out and said it was a grueling race, and he kind of was going to make a decision. But he's on the start list and he's ready to roll. So, presume he will be doing it.
For me, it's the fact both of them.
Yeah, it's both of them. Yeah, it's just like, what are you boys like? Do you not just want to, you know, double back, do the 5K, complete the Olympics? Like, I'm sure whatever road race you got can wait. Like, you know, why? Like, you can road race whenever you want. Like, what are you worried about? Go take 6, 7, 8 weeks off after your year. But look, we're not, you know, this is probably why we're not involved in the we're not looking after Joshua Cheptegei and Jacob Kiplimo.
Well, yeah, maybe there's more to come on that story. We'll see.
Like, the Olympics is the pinnacle. Like, like, it's the pinnacle. Who cares if you're like,
to be fair, mate, they might have just been on a massive sesh after the the other one. Cheptegei's just been rolling around Paris. They haven't seen him for 3 days. He's come in and they're like, mate, you can't run tomorrow. If he has, fair play to him. Yeah, I think that's what we do, you know.
The pair of them party too hard. But I mean, the 5K heats, actually, I guess, is not, by the time people are listening, it would have already happened. But mate, yeah, predictions. Obviously, Diva and Mills, they go in heat one. Well, basically, just, you know, do you reckon we're going to get a Brit in the final? I mean, yes or no question.
I think one of them, perhaps.
One Brit in the final, yeah. I think one Brit in the final.
Yeah.
Me too.
Before the champs, I said Mills, but just depends how he's recovered, man, because even though he's, I think I said in our preview that if he didn't make the final, I thought he'd get through the heat of the five. But I'm thinking Repecharge, he should still run 3 rounds.
Mm.
So it's brutal. And it's not like the 5K is going to be easy. I do think he's probably got a better close than Diva. But again, with this champs, with this track, with this crowd, with the caliber of athletes, who knows? We could see quick times in the heat, and then it won't matter too much about your kick. So, in which case, I think, yeah, maybe Paddy's got a chance, you know?
Yeah. Just trying to decide who's got the tougher heat, but it's actually been seeded pretty well. Look, it's top eight to qualify, so. And without Cheptegei and Kiplima, obviously that does, because that is two guys in the final that are guaranteed in the final. So without those guys, it does make it a little easier. But yeah, man. I mean, we'll wrap up there. We look forward to chatting with Stonia tomorrow. And yeah, we will check in with you guys after tomorrow, those steeple heats, and what else we got on the track then? It was only the steeple final tomorrow, so we've got the 400 final, Hudson Smith to get gold. Lovely. Women's 400 semis. Oh, women's four hurdles have got an extra day of recovery. Jeez. Okay. Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. That's Matt and I signing off at 20 past 12.
Sorry
But
if we're a bit sleepy.
I hope you've listened all the way and you're enjoying these episodes because I'm a tired boy now. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you very soon.